Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. I have today with me Walter Lubeck. I've known of Rob Walter for many, many years and have met him throughout the years of our practicing. And he wrote one of, I would consider, one of the first books about Reiki in German. And has been really at the forefront of the German Reiki scene for decades now, if I may say that, Walter.
Yes, sir.
And it's a real gift to have him on the show today. Walter, I'd love for you to start out by telling us your Reiki story.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me, Phyllis. That's a great honor for me. And sure, I'd love to tell about my Reiki story. It started in the year 1987. And at that time, I was very ill. And illness always was something which turned my life to the better. I was ill since my childhood. You know, I always had this and this and this and this. And when I was in the midst of my 20s, I was very successful in business together with two partners. I owned a plastic molding company. We did thread protectors for oil field equipment.
Wow.
So we did this all over Europe, and I was traveling a lot. I was the one who had the customer contacts and part of development of new products. And so I was earning a lot of money and was traveling a lot. I had a nice apartment in Hanover, and I was getting more and more depressed and more ill, and nobody knew why. So I ended up at the practice of a natural healer. We call them Heilpraktiker. It's close to a doctor, but not exactly the same. And this guy was doing a lot of good for me. So for months, he was helping me with homeopathy and with herbs and other remedies. And after some months, there was a new certificate on one of his walls in his practice. It was about Reiki, that he is a Reiki practitioner. And I had never heard about that. Remember, it was 1987. At that time, we hardly had a magazine running about esoterics in Germany.
Right. Reiki was very new in Germany at that time.
Oh, you can bet. And so I asked him what it is, because it looked very Japanese, and I had some experience with Japanese martial arts, but I never heard about Reiki. And he told me that he would not like to tell me more about this, but I should book the class. It would be great for me.
Great.
So this guy made me pay a couple of hundred German marks at that time for something I had no idea what it is. Absolutely no idea. But I trusted him. And so Friday evening, it was in April, I was at his practice again. And there, Brigitte Müller, a German Reiki master, I think one of the first in Germany, was there. And we were in a small room with about 25 people. And, well, we were singing songs and holding hands, and people introduced themselves. And there was a couple, they told us that they had been on a Huna class before, and that he knows now that he's a bear, and she knew now that she's a penguin. Penguin, you know? So I thought, what is this? Please. And then there was a woman, and she did her footwear on her own. She was producing her own shoes.
Oh,
because the regular shoes, she said, they have a bad energy, not good for her. Well, and then there was a guy, an elderly guy, but a big person. And he told us that he is 95 years old. And when he was 70, the doctors told him that he would die soon because of bone cancer. And then he met a dowser, and the dowser helped him to get away from bad earth rays. And then he learned dowsing himself. And he said, no, I'm doing this for 20 years. I think if you do something for 20 years, you should start something new. And that is Reiki. Well, that was very interesting for me. It was fascinating. And these people, they came together and wanted to learn Reiki. And after a while, I understood what Reiki was. It was placing your hands on the body of yourself or of someone else, and then healing should start.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay, well, yeah, why not? So the next days were very interesting, and I had a lot of completely new experiences. People told about angels they were seeing and energies feeling and kundalini rising. And I didn't feel much. Not really.
Uh-huh.
So I was driving home on Sunday evening and I thought, well, that was a nice weekend. Well, not cheap, but nice. And I wondered what this would be for me.
Uh-huh.
Next morning, I was driving to my company, and that was the first time I had my hands for a longer period of time at the same place.
Uh-huh.
And my hands were getting hot. You know, like iron, when you want to do ironing on shirts and so on.
Right, right.
They were hot. And there was a ticklish sensation going up my arms to my shoulders. And I thought, what is that? Did this woman hypnotize me or whatever? Am I ill now? Did I get an infection or what? You know, this was going on for weeks. Wherever I had my hands, they got hot and this ticklish feeling was all around my arms, up to my shoulders. And then I started to treat myself and treat others. Friends were coming after my work time and I treated them and I had good results. And what was very special, this change in my state of consciousness, in my emotions, when I did Reiki. Even if friends of friends were coming, which I have never seen before, after some minutes, I felt like we would knew each other since years.
Right, right.
Even if we didn't talk much, it was such a impressive thing for me. That happened all the time. Didn't matter who they were. Men, women, elderly people, young people, didn't matter. They all felt like close friends after some minutes Reiki.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
And that was even more impressive for me than the healings which happened, because at that moment I was in psychotherapy because I had problems with my emotions being very emotional, you know, and my psychotherapist always tried to explain to me that emotions are necessary and important and I should allow them to flow. And I always thought, what does this guy want from me? What is it, you know? And I will remember this, I think, for the rest of my life. When I was at the first therapy session, it was group therapy, you know, group counseling.
Uh-huh.
It was Tuesday after that weekend. We were 10 or 12 people, I don't remember exactly. And, well, I always had this reluctance, this block, when someone was crying, to go there and give some comfort and then go back to my seat. So I wondered whether I should go or not. And it was a problem. But that evening, someone was crying and I just got up and gave her some comfort. And then I was going back to my place. And when I was sitting down again, I thought, what was that? And the only explanation for me was Reiki. So from that moment on, I could allow my love to flow much better, and I felt more connected to other people, more emotional. And, well, that was really something, I can tell you. Well, and from that moment on, I thought, I have to go on with Reiki. And at that time, there was just one book around in Germany. It was from Chalila Sharamon and Bodo Baginski.
Right.
So I read this book. And it was like you read about something from the hippie people, you know, some
right.
10, 15 years before. And I thought, hey, are there really these kind of people out there? And then I was placing a small ad in a magazine for Hanover, and out of nowhere, about 15 people appeared who also did Reiki, and we did a Reiki circle.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was great. It was so different from my you know, from my business life, from the people from the oil fields and so on. They were great people, but very different.
Very different.
Exactly. Yeah, very different. And so when I was coming home, I was with Reiki Circle, and the weekends we had meetings, drinking tea, talking, exchanging Reiki, doing meditation. It was wonderful. It was what I really needed. It was like vitamins for my soul, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you bet. And then I thought, I need to go for second degree. And I heard things about, well, you can do healing over the distance. You can do mental healing. I thought, how should this work? How should I give a healing from Hanover to Berlin, for example? So I was talking to others, and some of them already had second degree or Zui Reiki, and they told me, well, that's a secret, we cannot tell you much, but if you would be initiated, you would like it very much, you should go there. Well, and then I was asking Brigitte Müller to join a second degree, and she said, well, yeah, I don't know, it's long time until I will give a class. Let's talk again about this. And then during this time, my girlfriend at that time became very ill with a lower belly pain, and her doctor said she would need surgery. And she really feared that. She didn't want to go to hospital.
Uh-huh.
So we asked our Reiki master whether she would give a distant healing.
Uh-huh.
And she agreed. So on a Monday evening, my girlfriend that time received that treatment. And at the same time, I placed my hand on her lower belly. And gosh, that was so much energy. At that time, I was able to feel energy. And we were both sweating, and she shivered. And then she fell to sleep and was waking up next morning.
Wow.
And everything was gone.
Wow. No,
and she could hardly walk before.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was a miracle. And she was going to the doctor, and the doctor was seeing her the day before. And the doctor said, if I would not have done examination yesterday with you, I would say that you just have imagined that illness. Nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I thought, I will do that class. I must persistent healing with Reiki. And after talking back and forth with our Reiki master, she agreed that we could come to her class in Hamburg. This is about a 2.5-hour drive from Hanover. And so we were going there, and it was raining cats and dogs, you know. It was really raining so that the wipers couldn't manage to catch the screen. And we were arriving late at, I don't know, 10 o'clock in the evening or so. It was much too late for the class, but they waited for us. And then we had an initiation, and we learned the symbols, and we were starting to give distant treatment, and I was blown away. I couldn't grab that. It was like, you know, when you try to change the gear, and it doesn't work well because the different wheels, they do not really fit into each other.
Right.
Mine was like, you know, not functioning, not being able to grab that. It took me some weeks after this to understand that this really works.
Uh-huh.
I had some spiritual experiences in my teenage years, but I had no idea that there were classes and you can learn during 2 days something like this, doing miracles. Up until today, Reiki is a miracle for me. I think if this exists, then everything is possible.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I had a lot of great experiences with distant healing and with mental healing. And I did a lot of development, you would say, and trying to find solutions for my clients. And so I integrated crystals, for example, and found methods for using affirmation with mental healing. And then after a while, I thought, this is what I really want to do. I want to do this in a professional way. I want to become a a Reiki master. And I asked my master about a training, and after a while she agreed. And then I was traveling through whole Germany and sometimes even to Switzerland and visiting classes where she was teaching.
Uh-huh.
Met a lot of interesting people. And it was a challenging time because I was working full time, and being self-employed, you know, you don't work 30 hours per week.
Right.
it was really interesting for me what happened, because all this traveling, all this meeting new people and understanding my life, or maybe that life, in a different way, it made me rich. I felt that I got rich.
Uh-huh.
Because of knowing life now from another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I was publishing a magazine, because I stepped out of the company. The company still exists, running well, but I stopped being a working partner. And I started to publish a magazine. Oh, you wrote an article at that time. We met at Grupo Luisa, and you were sending me an article. Thank you for that again.
Oh, you're welcome. Grupo Luisa, wow, I haven't thought of there in a long time.
Well, it's a long time ago. I think it was 89 or so.
Yeah.
It's a lovely place, but I never have been there again.
Uh-huh.
So I was publishing this magazine for esoterics in northern part of Germany, and learned even more about people, and were writing interviews and these kind of things. But then after a while, the work became so much, also with the classes, that I had to stop something. And so I stopped the magazine. And then was going on as a full-time Reiki master. And my idea of Reiki at that time was that if I face a problem, I had no idea about what to do, I will meditate with Reiki, and then a solution would come.
Right.
And so I did this often, because in the beginning, you know, I had no idea how to give classes. Well, of course, I had the training, but, you know, there are so many things about classes which you don't know, because it could be 100,000 different situations in a class.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that I need a lot of new ideas. And also I was trying to find ways to understand Reiki much better. And then I was just running into some books about Huna. And of course, Huna is not Reiki, of course. But they have these ideas about how energy is influencing, spiritual energy is influencing someone when it comes to healing. And that was fitting very well to my experiences. So I learned a lot from Huna, and I started to give distant healing to my higher self and my inner child, which they, I think, call Unihipili and Aumakua and so on, and had great results with that. And at that time, I understood that Reiki is something like a mountain, like a Mount Everest, and that I just was knowing a pebble of that. And that Reiki has so much more.
Mm, right.
Yeah, and I think that this is one of the really big miracles of the world, that Uzui has left us something which can be taught within a weekend, and then if you practice it, it opens up and it becomes a bigger and bigger treasure chamber.
Mm-hmm.
When I was seeing this Harry Potter movie, you know, with these special large rooms which they were finding out about, where you can get everything which you need, you know?
Right.
Sometimes I think this is a kind of metaphor for Reiki.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I never thought about that before. That's neat.
It's interesting, and my experience was that, or still is, that whatever you do, Reiki makes it better. It makes more of it. It gives you a deeper and more holistic approach. So it helped me with a lot of other things too, even indirectly. When I was looking for the right kind of homeopathic remedy and I didn't know what to do. Then I did Reiki meditation, Gassho meditation, and after a while, either I understood what it is or I was being guided to the right kind of book or to the right kind of people to help me further. And when I was doing Reiki, distant healing, to angels, that is so impressive, because I had the first angel contact when I was 2.5 years old. I was playing in a big sandbox, looked up, and there was this angel standing close to the garage of the house where we lived at that time, and was just looking at me.
Wow.
And from that moment on, I knew that there is something out there, and I started to be interested in spiritual things, but I never got the idea before running into Reiki that there is something so easy that everybody can learn that. Everybody gets the initiation and the teaching, and then they have healing hands. For me, it was like I was a kind of cat with the wrong color before that. I thought that maybe nobody else was seeing angels.
I see, right.
Yeah, and with these experiences with Reiki, there was something, I was running into a lot of different people who had angel experience and who were doing healing hands work. And I understood that if I do a distant healing contact with the angels I knew, then I came closer to them. I understood their wisdom much better than before. And this started something new for me. It was, for a while, I was like being drugged, you know. I never used recreative drugs, but I think it feels like that. If you have this contact to Reiki and the divine beings, I felt spaced out for a time.
Right, right.
Well, and then...
Could I just come in a little bit?
Sure.
Oh, that would be great, because this... distant treatment with angels really intrigues me. So before we lose this piece, I'd like to know if there's a way for you to tell us a story about that, that is like you sent a distant treatment to an angel, and I don't know if these are angels that you see and they're personal to you, or if they're angels that we think about like Gabriel, Michael, and so on, or if they're like angels like from the transformation game. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that before we go on?
Oh, sure. I love to. Well, any kind of angels. Angel is just a headline for me for any kind of divine being, like gods, like elves, like fairies, you know. And it's either personal angels, but also people like Archangel Gabriel or Raphael. Well, one time I remember very well when I was treating someone with cancer in a hospital. There was at that time we had a nationwide Reiki healing circle. Hans-Jürgen Reger was doing this, and I got a phone call that a couple wanted a Reiki healer in Hanover, and so I was going to that. To that lady in the hospital, and she had cancer and she was close to die. And she had a lot of pain, and I treated her and I thought, this is too big for me. There was so much pain and so much chemicals from the doctors she got, and I thought, oh come on, please, I don't know really what to do. And then I thought, I will do a distant healing connection to Archangel Raphael. And I did. And after I finished the symbols and repeated the name, then there was a lot of peace coming. A lot of peace and a feeling like, it's okay. We take over. And during the treatment, then the lady started to sleep and she relaxed. And I had the impression that now her soul could go because the pain, the torture was gone. And then she was dying next day, But the husband told me she was completely in peace, no problem. She died and it was peaceful and it was okay. And before she was struggling so much and it was such a difficult energy around her, there was so much, I don't know, disharmony. I don't know much about her life, but it was really a challenge and I didn't know what to do. I thought I placed my hands on her, but she didn't react and I felt bad with it, not being able to help her. And this angel contact, it changed everything from one moment to the other. And I think sometimes we need the presence of a divine being to be a better healer. At least it helped me at that time.
Mm-hmm. What a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you for asking. It's, well, yeah, it, when I think about it, it still moves me.
Yes,
at that time, I lost my fear of dying, you know.
Really? Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
It was this moment because I felt if you allow the divine beings to be with you, then death is just another part of life.
Mm. Mm. Well, not to go off on a tangent, but I feel that in the last years, I've really grown to appreciate my grandmother, who used to call it transition. And I used to think, oh, this is a euphemism. Like you don't want to say the word death, so you use the word transition, you know, in a kind of hidden way. But what I realized is that she was actually more accurate. she saw birth as a transition, and she saw death as a transition.
Yes.
And it was interesting. It's interesting always to see the number of births that follow a very significant death.
Yeah.
In a family, for instance, or, you know, like these transitions that happens in our lives. And I just, that's so beautiful. Thank you. It's really touches me also.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. So what I really love also, and the point that you're making, which I really appreciate, is that in those days, and I have to say I'm kind of sounding like an old fogey now, in those days, because, you know, there weren't so many books written about Reiki, and the ones that were very, in some way, innocent. You know, there wasn't a lot of theory or supposition or anything.
Yeah.
It was more like just describing what they felt like was happening. And I don't know, I kind of long for those days, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But one of the things that happened during those times, because there wasn't a lot written, is that we got to make our own discoveries. And
yeah.
I feel that this part of being a Reiki student is, I think that it still goes on, but it's not as obvious. You know, I think I look at my students and I think, well, you know, I just want them to have this experience of going, okay, now what do I do? And instead of going, oh, so-and-so said this in a book, their mind just surrenders and goes to Reiki, and then something happens, and they get this idea from they don't know where. And, and then they do it, and they see, wow, this is really a miracle. And it just feels like that was the energy with which you were speaking. And I miss that sometimes these days. I wonder if that's true for you or if you find that in your students still.
Well, I think this is something very common. I traveled the world a lot. I've been in India, Argentina, Venezuela, United States, a lot of countries.
Yeah.
And there is always this reluctance to just open up to this much greater thing than we could be, we call Reiki. And my approach as a teacher, I don't know whether I can always make this work, but that's what I have in mind as a kind of beacon, as a kind of lighthouse,
uh-huh.
where help my students to go. is that they find out how they personally can reach the state of mind where they open up.
Right.
This is why I teach them a lot about meditation, about the gassho, about using the Japanese principles of Uzui as kind of mantra, if you want to keep it that way, to recite, to connect to higher self, inner child, to a being of light, not to get a specific result, but to change your state of mind to being more open to the divine. And my experience is that everybody needs a different approach. For some people, it's Reiki meditation. For others, it's treating other people or themselves. For others, it's a special healing, which just happens when they give Reiki. And from that moment on, they have that connection. And for others, it's a special guide, a special divine being they work together with. But not everybody wants to really walk that path. Often, I have the impression that people feel more safe with a certain technique.
Well, I think technique is a really trigger word. It's definitely a safer approach because in my mind, we don't have to deal then with the unknown or with mm-hmm. the unfamiliar. And I feel that it's too bad in our social existence these days that there's so much value on the known.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then the unknown becomes very scary. And, you know, it's the wonder of Reiki practice in what I would call the good old days is I think it's still there, but you have to look for it a bit. And I appreciate your willingness to give your students other ways of getting there other than just being naive.
Oh, you know, in fact, you encouraged me to do that. Do you know? Do you know that?
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay. You see?
Okay. So this is a good time for me to get humble, right?
Oh, well, I don't know. It was in the beginning of the 90s, and there you gave an interview, and you said that if you want to know about Reiki, you should go to the corner of a room.
Oh, right.
And then you should be with yourself for a moment, and then you should turn around and look into the room, and that you then be aware of all the wonderful things which Reiki could give you.
Right.
And at that moment, at that time of my life, I was struggling whether I should go on with just doing what I have learned, or whether I should really go deeper into trying things out and passing this on what worked for me, and encouraging people to also do their own research. And when I read this, I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to turn around and look into that room and see what there is. So
good,
thank
for
you,
Walter. Well, I know at that time it wouldn't have been my wish for you to see what you saw and do. But now I see that, you know, that was your path. And that's the ultimate importance for me.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think all have different paths, and I see it like a you know, like a cord. Is it so right, a cord? Which, a rope. And a rope is made out of little ropes, you know?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And I think that when we work with Reiki, we are like these little ropes who become a big rope.
Yes. I see where you're going. And I believe that too. And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, our belief systems are such that one of the things that I have always said and am saying even more now is that one of the greatest lessons for me in Reiki was realizing that there is no right and there is no wrong. And this sort of relative universe that we're born into, where the black and white happens, is a made-up universe. It's something that works for business and it works for other things pretty well, but it doesn't really work for human nature. And
yeah, that's right.
You know, what Reiki is for me is a healing practice. So the healing happens in many different ways, and we can't control it. And I think it's great that, you know, Reiki presented me with a lot of different opportunities to break up this feeling of good and bad, right and wrong. And, you know, it's a progressive, thing to, you know, movement. But I feel in the last 10 years or so that this movement has not only taken me, but also taken the whole of the Reiki world. I just feel a very different energy coming these days in Reiki. Do you feel that true as you travel around?
Oh, yeah. I call it Reiki Renaissance.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, you see, I think that everything moves forward in waves.
In waves?
And in waves, like it was the ocean.
Yeah.
And during the last years, my impression is that there is something like small waves are coming closer to make a big wave in Reiki. That's just my impression, you know. When I should look at this from my mind's perspective, I would say that, well, things like scientific research about the effects of Reiki, but also people trying to organize, like Pro Reiki is a professional, the professional institution for Reiki healers, or also like that more and more people start to communicate about Reiki, aside from books and classes and so on. They meet each other at the internet, they exchange ideas, they exchange experience, and it becomes something more vivid, more connected, more where networking is a lot more than before. So it's a feeling like there is something on the move, but I don't know what exactly it is. But it becomes more dynamic.
Yes.
And it touches me, because when I see this, my heart says, I want to be a part of that stream. I want to be a part of that movement and try to contribute. And let's see what comes out of that.
Right. Well, that's happening in lots of different levels, and I really appreciate your wanting to be a part of it. That's great.
So I think it's the right time to sit together, like they did with the Native Americans, you know, around the fire and talk about our experience. And share our path, and by doing this, making the rope stronger and ourselves wiser.
I agree. And it seems that there is already some reflection in the outer world of this, of the effect that this kind of energy is having. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of putting stuff together, maybe because I haven't, I used to be in Germany a lot in the 1990s. And then for the last 15 years or so, I've hardly been in Germany, which has been actually, I have to say, really sad for me. It's the it's the country that I came to first in Europe. And it's the country, especially the Hamburg area, is just my, it's my Lieblingsort. You know, it's my heart.
Let's see.
And I know the road from Hanover to Hamburg very well. And I've driven it in the pouring rain, you know, following in, feeling like I'm a part of a flock of low-flying birds on the Autobahn, you know, just being in this huge pack of cars, you know, screaming up the Autobahn. And if I had my logical mind, I would say, are you really out of your mind? But because it's so straight, so flat, and so, you know, it's just, that's all you want to do is to drive. And it's one of my best, it's one of my very sweet memories of Germany. And, you know, I know that in the last 10 years or so, there have been some really interesting events happen in Germany where it went from, where Reiki went from being kind of a pseudo massage kind of thing to actually being recognized as a, how do you all put it? Like a spiritual practice that has healing involved in it or something. So it took it out of this kind of pseudo medical model and into something totally different. Is that still happening? And can you talk a little bit about that? Well, oh, sure. And more accurately than I, because you're actually there.
Yeah. I'm, to a certain extent, I know about situation. During the last years, there was, for example, something developing in a big hospital in Berlin, and they employ now, I think, close to 20 Reiki practitioners who have very, very good results helping people with chronic pain.
Wow.
Otherwise wouldn't be able to receive anything which helps them because nothing works anymore, you know?
Right. Wow.
And one of the masters I trained and his wife, they are in a clinic in Bad Pyrmont, and they treat also under supervision of medical doctors of that clinic a broad variety of patients.
Uh-huh.
And I know from other clinics that in Germany that the same is happening, but most of them do not want to go public, at least not at the moment, because we have a very strong reluctance from the Medical Doctors Association, National Association, and other institutions against these things. But Reiki becomes, on the one hand, much more integrated in official medicine. On the other hand, there is a lot of research being done. Like, you know, Professor Ignatov does this thing with a, you know, Isabella Petri told you about that, with the aura photograph and also with influencing the deionized water, which very interesting results. For me, it was really great to see that what we have learned and what our experience is, that when we give a healing as Reiki practitioners, we do not lose energy, regain energy, as our clients do. When I have seen these photos before and after, I thought, yeah, now I can show people who don't have that experience that this is reality. It's not just a saying. And then there is a great machine. It's used in psychotherapy and I think in some stress-related medical institutions. It's measuring the different frequencies of the heart.
Huh.
I think you have this in the United States too. So it doesn't measure just the rhythm of the heartbeat, but to which extent this rhythm changes. And this is a very exact way to measure stress and stress release. They do this in Austria, but also in some places in Germany, and they have great results finding out that Reiki is an extremely powerful stress release. What we know, because we do it. But this is something other people can see without having the experience themselves, so it's more trustworthy to some. And another thing going on is that people start to experience the spiritual dimension of Reiki meditation. Some years ago, meditating with Reiki was hard to find under the Reiki practitioners, at least in my environment. I always had to talk until they started to meditate with Reiki. But since some time, now it's more easy to encourage people to do Reiki meditation, to do Gassho meditation, and just unite with the energy and be with the energy for a while. So there seems to be something on the move. And as I stated before, I have no idea where this is going to, but it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And what about the legal situation then in Germany? I understood that there was some kind of court case.
Yes.
That took it out of the medical, from underneath the medical profession legally and put it into another place. And I'm not really clear about that.
That is right. The highest court in Germany made, we call it a Beschluss. I don't know the right term in English. It's
like a decision, a ruling, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a little bit different, but it is completely valid for any legal situation. And it's that psychic healing is okay. We can practice it. We can advertise it. As long as we do not try to do medical doctor's work.
Right.
And as long as we do not appear like a doctor in a kind of practice like a doctor would. So this in short terms is the legal situation. And this means that psychic healers in Germany have a fantastic way to make their hobby a profession. We are allowed officially to do that. Now, the official medical system in Germany is threefold. It's the medical doctors.
Right.
It's a Heilpraktiker, which is not a doctor, but they have to do a certain exam. And then we have the psychic healers, and Reiki is counted under psychic healing.
Uh-huh. And is the word psychic, really? I mean...
Yes.
Yeah? Wow. That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think this is one of the greatest things happening during the last 15 years for spiritual people in Germany, because now we can be officially what we did before in, more or less hidden situation.
Well, I know a lot of my students took the Heilpraktiker training and then, you know, wanted to do a special course in Reiki. And I tried to create a program like that, but it didn't really work very well. And now I see that it was just because it was going to change, you know, very, very soon. And we were a little bit impatient or something. So anyway, it didn't take off, but something else actually better happened, I think.
Oh,
Yeah, and was really wonderful. So that's really great. And I hope that it gives a kind of influence to the other European community countries. Do you think that that's possible?
Well, yes, I think so. Because you see, in England, since, many decades, psychic healing, including Reiki, is quite okay. In the Netherlands, as far as I know, that's the same or very similar.
Similar, yes.
And because these countries are belonging to the EU, then other countries cannot really block that. So I teach a lot in Spain. And in Spain, people can practice Reiki as long as they do not interfere with medical doctors' treatments and diagnosis.
Which makes total sense.
Which makes total sense to me. I work together with medical professionalists because I think together we can do much better for our clients as one alone.
Right, exactly. I agree. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's a great development. Great achievement.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I'd like to just shift topics a little bit.
Okay.
Before I do, I just want to say to the listeners that there are in the archives two, maybe three interviews, I think 2-3 years ago, maybe, with Isabella Petri and also with, her name escapes me.
Angela
Zellner.
Right.
And they will give you more information about these experiments that are happening and that Walter mentioned, which I found really fascinating, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
and
really
fascinating. And nice people and very dedicated to the Reiki practice.
Right. So in talking about Reiki meditation, this is my key word. I'm thinking when I... Well, my little story is that I don't know how I had Reiki in my head because it was just so new to me and I didn't really have a category for it except it was weird. But it worked. And and then in about the beginning of the 1990s, I realized that I was looking for a spiritual practice. And a friend of mine said, well, you have one already. It's Reiki. And I said, well, I think you're crazy. And they said, well, and so I had this conversation with John for years. And eventually I got it, that Reiki was my spiritual practice for me. And that it had the elements for any student who wanted to adopt it. But in that whole time frame, I realized for me that I was also looking for a way to meditate. And because my practice has been mostly, not always, but mostly in what I call formal treatments, I don't speak a lot and I'm quiet, which forced me to do a lot of the same mindfulness practices or create my own process of mindfulness as a natural response to being quiet for an hour or an hour and a half, you know, during the day. And that I felt that meditation and Reiki took the form of a Reiki treatment.
Uh-huh.
Like in Zen meditation, sometimes they do walking meditation, sometimes they do chanting meditation, and, you know, they have different kinds of meditation. So I'm just wondering, when you said that you were having you felt like people were not kind of listening to this suggestion that you can meditate in Reiki. I'm just wondering if that had to do with the stage of development of their Reiki practice, or if it had to do with actually having a conscious meditation practice, or if it or if you recognize that doing a treatment over, you know, a period of years actually creates a meditative practice.
Well, let's start with this. Meditation for me is getting closer to the gap between my thoughts, where that starts, which I cannot understand, but what is a part of me and a part of the greater, whatever we call it, which is the universe. And as I mentioned before, whenever I did Reiki treatments for people, I change the state of consciousness. And this change is not all only that I feel closer to someone, but also that I feel closer to me. And it's a state, I wouldn't say, which is thoughtless, but where thoughts appear much less than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, a Reiki treatment, I think, is a meditative practice if people allow it to happen. If they keep themselves busy with this and that, it won't. But that is the same as it is valid for any kind of meditation. I think that one of the reasons why people are more interested in Reiki meditation today is that Reiki is more integrated into the spiritual community than it was 25 years ago. And in the beginning, when I was teaching Reiki, end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, people who did meditation, usually, at least in my social environment, didn't do Reiki, or they understood Reiki as something very different. Uh-huh. So I met some people who did Zen or Vipassana meditation or transcendental meditation, and I wouldn't say that they looked down on Reiki, but they did not consider Reiki being, in the nearest sense, something spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the 2000s, during the last years, things changed. There is a growing consciousness about the spiritual dimensions of Reiki. Maybe that it helped, but this is only a guess, that people learn more about Uzui's life, about the Kurama Mountain, that people traveled there, that they were experiencing this wonderful power spot. Maybe it's just something which happens because more and more people have been initiated and trained with Reiki, and so they made experiences and they understood that Reiki is something spiritual. I don't know, but I think there is a certain wave being on the move, that now people understand there is something spiritual in Reiki much more than they thought before, and now they are going for it. If I have to make a guess about what will be the main topic in the Reiki community, let's say at the end of this decade, beginning of the 20s, I would say it's meditation with Reiki. May it be by doing gassho, or may it be by placing hands on yourself or others, but that they now are ready, more and more ready, to encounter the divine with the means of Reiki. And that's a challenge. Whenever people really start to meditate, a big adventure starts because they are coming closer to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot look away from who they are, what they are, and from their fears and shortcomings, or what they understand as shortcomings. And this is a very creative process. Whenever I did some weeks of intense meditation, I was going through a kind of healing crisis, because after a while I became very, I had to move a lot. I was running through the woods, or I did some Tai Chi exercises. It was difficult for me to be still, getting back to meditation. And then when this period was over, a deep peace was coming.
Yeah.
And that I was able to embrace a part of myself I would not have embraced some days before.
Well, that's really beautiful, Walter. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a gift, I think. It's a gift we get from Reiki.
Great. Well, we are right at the end of our hour, and I'd like to thank you very much for being on the show. And I'd like to just end with your words, if possible. And if you could, if you have something that comes right now to share with our listeners, that would be really great.
Yeah. What always helped me was this interview with Dr. Uzui, which was printed, I don't know exactly, 1925 or so. And Uzui was asked, what can you heal with Reiki? And Uzui stated, anything. Anything. Just do it. And when I read this interview, I thought, yeah, I will just give it a try, and then we see. A late friend of mine always said, I don't know, let's try. If a client asked him whether this can be healed or that can be healed, he said, I don't know, let's try. I think that's the right approach. We should not limit Reiki with the ideas we have about it. We just should do it.
Thank you, Walter.
You're welcome. Thank you.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.